Hi, this is Pastor Nelson Mercado. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast from the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. I hope you are blessed by today's message.
Your throne this morning to hear a word from you. We thank you for this opportunity. Lord, before we end our prayer, we think about those who have lost belongings and we're told over 50 people perished because of this hurricane. And here in Tennessee, of course, even here in East Tennessee, a lot of destruction, Lord. So yet again, another natural disaster that causes chaos. And we know that while we know that this is supposed to happen before Jesus' return, our hearts hurt, and so we pray that you will be with them and provide comfort, provide healing, provide restoration for those who have lost belongings and lost loved ones as well, Lord. Indeed, we pray for the soon return of Jesus so all this can be over. But Lord, we thank you for the privilege of your word, and we pray once again to you, guide and direct us so that we will, what we learn, what we hear, will treasure it in our hearts. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we are ending our series, our If-Then series today. We talked about this for the last number of weeks, this If-Then series. And this series has been about the practical and logical ways that Jesus shares the truths about the kingdom of God with his disciples, and of course, by extension, us. And of course, we know he teaches through stories, he teaches through parables, and he even teaches through this ancient a tool of logic called if-then, a conditional statement. If this happens, then that will be the result. If this, then that. And that's what we've been talking about. And so this is our fourth message of the series, our fourth and final ones. Just to review the first ones, we talked about if we know Jesus, then we know life. If we know Jesus, remember, knowing Jesus is not about simply knowing the details of his life, the stories of his life. It's about the intentionality in getting to know him better. It's an intimate, deep relationship with Jesus. This is the kind of relationship he wants to have from us. But it requires our intentionality. In other words, we have to want that. We have to want to know Jesus that way. And, of course, this requires time. We've talked about many times how to develop an intimate relationship with Jesus through prayer, through Bible study, through witnessing, and through active involvement in the church. We get to know Jesus. We develop that intimate relationship. Of course, we know life because he is the source of life. But you know, the natural result of knowing Jesus, when you get to know Jesus that way intimately, you're going to love him. Amen. That's our second one. If you love Jesus, then you will listen to him and obey his commands. But now, we use this word love very easily because we love chocolate, we love the weather, we love this, we love that, right? But this is a lot more. Loving Jesus is a lot more than loving chocolate. Loving Jesus is the agape love. This is the kind of love that he has for us, that God has for us, the unconditional love, the sacrificial love. Amen. That's how he loves us, and that's how he wants us to love him. And how do we get to love him that way? Well, when we get to know him. When we get to know him, we will love him, and the evidence of that agape love toward him is that we will listen to him and obey his commands. But now, when you know Jesus, when you love Jesus and you're following him and you're obeying him, you become a follower of Jesus, the natural result is that Satan's going to get angry. He's going to get mad because he doesn't want you to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. He'll put things in the way. He'll use whatever tools he has to make sure that you give up. And what tools? Well, we talked about this last time. It was our third if-then statement. If you follow Jesus, then you can expect rejection and persecution. Or we could say, if you're a follower of Jesus, you will be persecuted, you'll be rejected, you will face opposition. Why does Satan do that? Because he wants you to throw the towel. He wants you to give up. He wants you to turn your back on Jesus. Yeah, maybe you made a decision for Jesus. Maybe you got to know him. Maybe you got to love him. But I can't take this opposition. I'm tired of it. I'm going to give up. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to give up. And so this leads us to the fourth if-then statement, and that is, if you remain in Jesus, then you will bear much fruit. If you remain in Jesus. Notice, Satan is rejecting opposition, persecution. Why? Because he wants you to give up on Jesus. He doesn't want you to remain with Jesus. But Jesus says, if you remain in me, then you will bear much fruit. Now, some years ago, some of you may remember, I preached a series on the dangers of pornography. Some of you may remember that. It's been almost 2 years already. If you haven't seen it, you can go to our church's YouTube channel or Pastor Nelson Mercado on YouTube. It was a series called Flee. It was three parts on the dangers of pornography. But now, as part of that, I shared with you my own journey, right? The fact that I had been addicted to pornography for some time. And you know, while I was addicted to pornography, and by the way, this experience is something you probably could share. Maybe in your case, it's not pornography, something else. But it's a commonality. While I was in this addiction, I knew what I was doing was wrong. I knew it. I knew that what I was doing didn't please God, and I further wanted to stop. I wanted to stop. The problem was that since I knew I wasn't pleasing God, I felt that I had no right to approach him, right? Because I knew I was doing something wrong. I wasn't doing what he wanted me to do. And so this is the logic that I was using. By the way, that logic was not my lie. Satan is behind me trying to convince me of this. He's convincing me, well, since you got yourself into this, why bother God? You have no right to approach him. And so that's what happened. I didn't want to bother God. I thought about the fact that since I got myself into this problem, I should be strong enough to get myself out of the problem. Think about it. Now, that was my logic. And furthermore, you know, obviously I wasn't depending upon God. And because of what I was doing was a sinful action. Think about this. In reality, I was disconnected from God. Now, think about it. If I'm disconnected from God, how do you think I did in trying to find victory over this myself? Do you think I was successful? Again, no. And again, in your case, it might not be pornography. It might be something else, but it's the commonalities. This is how Satan makes us think, oh, I can do this myself. I can do this myself. But it's not what we can do. Now, today, we're going to... we have a goal that we want to achieve. We want today to be called disciples of Jesus. How many of you want to be disciples of Jesus? So that's our end goal today. Our end goal. Now, a disciple, to be a disciple, is to be a committed and devoted follower of a teacher. Right? In our case, as Christians, we are devoted followers of who? Of Jesus Christ. And so it makes perfect sense that it is by remaining in him, or as the New King James Version says, to abide in him, that we will be able to produce the kind of fruit that brings glory to him. Amen. Makes just perfect sense. So let's read our text for today. Our scripture reading was John 15:5, but we're going to read verses 1 through 8 to get the whole context. So let's go to John 15. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 15, and verses 1 through 8. I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, that is the vine dresser, right, God, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and it is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Amen. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There it is. That's the end goal. So you will be my disciples. So understand that he says, by this you will bear much fruit, right? My Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and that fruit is what proves that we are his disciples. So although that's the end goal, the central theme in these eight passages is connection with Jesus, right? Is to remain in Jesus, to be deeply connected to him, to be rooted in his love, and therefore draw our strength and our growth from him, from that connection. And this is a picture of the kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have with us. It's an intimate relationship. It is a relationship that's so intimate and so vital that it becomes the very source of our spiritual growth. And so Jesus uses this metaphor of the vine, right? The vine and the branches to illustrate this kind of relationship that he wants us to have. So he says, I am the vine. Who are the branches? We are, right? You are the branches. There's a powerful imagery that speaks of the absolute necessity of being connected to Jesus. And just as the branch cannot survive if it's severed from the vine, so too, friends, we cannot experience true spiritual growth, true spiritual life, if we're disconnected from Jesus. We can't. Now, this word abide in the Greek, in the Greek grammar, but actually in the Greek is menon, the word menon, and in the grammar, it's in the present participle active form. It is in the present participle active form. What does that mean? And it's, by the way, it's important. The grammar that's used is important because it tells us the whole thing, a lot. What it means is that I don't connect to Jesus just once. In other words, I say, well, I'm going to connect to Jesus one time, and once I'm connected, I am good. I don't have to do anything else. Nothing is going to disconnect me from Jesus. That's not what the word means, because, again, it's in the present participle active form, which means that this is an ongoing issue, an ongoing action. It's an ongoing action, an active relationship that requires a consistent attention and a consistent effort. That's what a word means. Yeah? It involves seeking him through prayer, Bible study, witnessing, active involvement in the church. The word itself means remaining, or it means to abide, but it also means to stay. To stay. The implication is that sometimes we don't stay. Jesus wants us to stay. And again, through those things that we just talked about. It involves cultivating an attitude of a dependence upon him, recognizing that we cannot live the Christian life on our own effort. It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. Now, as I shared earlier in my own experience, you can try to do things your own. You can try to do this on your own strength. You can try to find victory over those things that keep you in shackles on your own strengths, but you'll quickly learn how difficult and discouraging that is. Trust me, I've been there. And by the way, that's part of the strategy of Satan. He wants you to be discouraged, so you'll convince yourself, why keep trying? I might as well go with the flow. But Jesus says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Again, unless you stay in me, you cannot do it. Now, we hear a lot in the church about spiritual fruit, about us having a spiritual fruit, or we've heard about the fruit of the Spirit. And when we think about this, sometimes it's hard to imagine what does this really look like. But the truth is that I hope that I'm right about this, that most of us want to live an abundant and fruitful life. How many of you will want to live an abundant and fruitful life? All of us want that, right? In whatever capacity God has given us. And you know, the interesting part about this, about the spiritual fruit, is that the closer you stick to Jesus and stay with him, remain, stay connected to him, you will begin to see the spiritual fruit in your life. You're going to begin to see it. It's that process of transformation. I was actually talking to Greg. He's not here today, but we were talking a few weeks ago. I was actually talking to both Greg and Stephanie, and we were talking about this very, very same thing, that this process of transformation that takes place, right? When you can think about the person who you were, the things that you liked before, perhaps the places you used to go, that back then you loved it. But now, you are a totally different person. Now you don't care for those things. Now you've learned to appreciate other things. That's the process, right? That's part of what we see as we're connected to Jesus, right? The fruit, friends, is a natural outgrowth of a healthy, vibrant relationship with Jesus. And by the way, it serves as evidence that you're connected to him. It serves as evidence that you're connected to him. Now, in the context of this passage, the fruit that the branches are to bear, right? The branches are to bear fruit. The fruit is talking about the conduct and the character of our lives, right? Our character in our conduct, our behavior, our lifestyle, the type of person we are, everything about us, the way we dress, the way we speak, the way we behave, the way we entertain, everything about us should speak about our connection to Jesus. Our conduct and our character. And of course, this also includes the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, self-control. The very characteristics of Jesus will be manifested in you. Why? Because we are connected. And it also includes the fruit of our service to others, how we help others, and our witness for Christ. But it's important for us to understand that producing or bearing fruit is not something we can manufacture ourselves. It is a result of the, how should I say, the sap of the Holy Spirit that is flowing through us when we're connected to the vine. And the vine, of course, is Jesus Christ. He is the vine. Yeah? And so our role then is not to try to produce fruits by our own efforts. This can be frustrating because we understand the importance of the fruit, and so we try to do it on our own, but our job, our task, our duty is to remain connected to Christ. And when we're connected to Christ, we're allowing him to produce the fruit in our lives. It is him that does it. And so if we're connected to Jesus, it will be evident. If we're not connected to Jesus, it's going to be evident as well, friends. Yeah. You know, this is not a popular topic. In fact, if you go to verse 2, notice Jesus says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit," what does God do with it? He takes it away, and then he throws it away and burns it into fire, he says in verse 7. He takes it away. "And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." I want you to consider this passage because there are two kinds of branches that are connected to the vine. Notice, friends, that at first, they're all connected to the vine. Jesus says, "Every branch in me." But some branches do not bear fruit, and some branches do bear fruit. Right? Now, this is important, because there is a connection to the vine. In other words, if we are the branches, it could be that at some point we decided to connect to the vine. But remember what I said, when you know Jesus and you love Jesus and become his obedient and a follower, Satan is going to attack you through rejection and oppression and persecution so that you decide to disconnect. At first, you were connected. And I say this because I've had conversations with other Christians that say, you know, they believe that it's impossible to lose your salvation. That once you're connected, if you really want it to be connected, nothing's going to disconnect you. But according to Jesus here, every branch in means. In other words, there are branches that are connected. One doesn't give fruit, one does. And why does one doesn't give a fruit? Because it didn't stay connected. This is why he consistently says, remain, stay, abide. And so again, those that don't produce the fruit are removed. And I mean, you may wonder, does this mean that they lose their salvation? Possibly. I mean, what does Satan want? He wants you to give up on Jesus. And ultimately, while God's goal is to save you and he will move heaven and earth to save you, I would argue that Satan moves heaven and earth so that you're not saved. And if you made a connection with Jesus, he'll move heaven and earth so that you will give up on Jesus. Perhaps. Again, we see in the passage in verse 7 that the branch is removed and thrown into the fire and burned. There's a similarity to what happens in Revelation. But here's the part that I'll be honest, that I don't fully understand. Because in my mind, as I look at what Jesus is saying, two kinds of branches, one that gives fruit and one that doesn't. Well, obviously, the one that doesn't, you know, he takes away. They're not doing what God wants. The other ones are. The ones that give fruit, they're okay. But what does Jesus do with the ones that give fruit? He prunes them. I got to be honest with you. I was like, I don't understand. Now, if you're familiar with gardening, you know what pruning is, right? What it involves. It's the process of cutting away the dead or unproductive, you know, the leaves, the little tiny branches that pop up on the side of the plant so that it can devote more energy in producing fruit. That's what pruning is. There's an old show that I still watch. It's Spanish, so Lucy knows what I'm talking about. And there's a scene where the guy is cutting, he's pruning the plants, and his daughter comes, "Why are you killing the plant?" Because he's cutting it off. But how does that translate in our spiritual lives? And I want you to think about this. Why? Because the branches that give fruit are the ones that are being pruned. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But remember Satan's strategy. He rejects, he persecutes, he opposes, he distracts so that you can give up your connection. So you are connected, but Satan is still working on you. In fact, I would argue he's working on you harder because you're still connected. So in our spiritual lives, pruning often involves the removal of things that hinder our growth or distract us from our relationship with Christ. Because trust me, he is trying to distract you right now. And he uses a variety of ways to try to do that. Yeah. This can include sinful habits. It can include unhealthy relationships. It could even include good things that have become your idols. And so obviously pruning is a painful process. It's a painful process because it often involves letting go of those things that we hold dear and have become part of our identity. But friends, this is a necessary part of spiritual growth. It is a necessary part of fruitfulness. You all said that you wanted to live abundant and fruitful life. You all raise your hand. And so the pruning, although it is not something we normally would have chosen, a pruning is a necessary part of our spiritual growth. It's necessary. And as we submit to the pruning process and allow God to remove anything that hinders our connection to him, we will then experience that greater intimacy with Christ. And we will experience the increased fruitfulness in our lives. But friends, we got to trust the process. We got to trust the process. We got to trust the divine gardener because he knows better than us. He knows better what to do about the things that are harming us, that Satan is using to distract us, and he removes those things so that we can have a better life, so we can have an abundant life. And by the way, God wants us to have an abundant life. Not only eternal life, yes, and I would say eternal life is his priority, but he still wants us to have abundant life here. But we have to remain in Christ. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So just as a branch cannot bear fruit if it is disconnected from the vine, we cannot experience the fullness of life that God intends to us to have if we're disconnected from Jesus. Our connection to Jesus is the key to living an abundant life, a fruitful life. This means that we are continually drawing our strength, our wisdom, and our guidance from Him. But it involves surrender. Yeah. It involves what?
Surrender.
Of our will to His will. And that's the difficult part. That's the difficult part. But as we seek to live our life and to obey Him, His commands, to accept His guidance, we will experience Him. Friends, the issue here is more of Him and less of us. This is an intentional pursuit of a deeper relationship with Christ through prayer, Bible study, witnessing, active involvement in the church.
Amen.
True life in Jesus involves a sense of intimacy and communion with Him. And as we remain in Him, as we stay, as we still choose to stay connected, we become more aware of His presence in our lives and His love for us.
Amen.
Trust me, friends, there are people in our own pews, Sabbath after Sabbath, who don't understand the love of God for them. They don't. Because they meditate on everything in their past, of what they have done or what they have been told. And they can't believe that God would love a person like me. But He does. And I praise Him for that. And friends, it is this intimacy that produces the peace and the joy and the contentment in our hearts that transcends any circumstances that we may face, any challenges in life that we face. If you abide in me, verse 7, that is, if you stay with me, if you stay connected, and my word abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done to you. Woo! I like that one. Terrence, tomorrow I'm going to have an S-Class Mercedes-Benz in my driveway. With all the bells and whistles, Henry. I won't choose an electric car because, anyway, I'm not getting this. You know, God does provide material blessing, doesn't He? He often does. But it's not just that, right? It's an assurance that as we abide in Jesus, as we stay connected to Him and align our desires and our wills to His, He will provide our needs and fulfill our deepest longings, no matter what they are. But there's a process, right? This is a process. And notice again, because our goal is to what? To be His disciples. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples.
Amen.
Yeah. And by the way, I would argue that although bearing fruit is important, and the evidence of our connection to Jesus, that is not Jesus' main issue. That is not what our goal should be. And again, we get into trouble because we think, well, I'm not producing fruit, so I got to try to produce good fruit so that I can be the disciple. We are focusing on the fruit. Obviously it's important because there's the evidence, but we're focusing on the fruit, and what we need to focus is on our connection. When we are connected, the fruit will come because Jesus will produce the fruit. It will come. So don't be thinking about the fruit. Think about the connection. The fruit will come. The fruit will come. Yeah. We are His disciples. That's the evidence. No longer captives to darkness. We are redeemed sons and daughters of the Most High King. Ambassadors of His kingdom. We are the salt and the light of the earth. We are witnesses of Jesus. We are proclaimers of the gospel message and the present truth for this time. If you remain in me, Jesus says, then you will produce more fruit.
Amen.
And by the way, he says, he ends by saying, because without me, you can do nothing. You know, Jesus doesn't waste any time mincing words and dancing around topics with the disciples. No, he's direct. He uses story, he uses parable, and as we have seen throughout this series, he uses logic. If this, then that. Which brings me to the last if-then statement of the series, which we could spend a lot of time in, but I'm not going to. Because I feel that it will be the end result. So, if we know Jesus, we will know life because he's a source of life. By knowing Jesus intimately, we will agape Jesus. And when we agape Jesus, we will obey Jesus. When that happens, we become followers of Jesus. Satan gets angry, he persecutes. But as long as we remain connected to Jesus, we will bear much fruit. And then, John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Notice how all this adds up. At the end, friends, we will get what we all are looking for. We're searching for freedom. Sin is tying us up. The shackles are around us. The chains are around us. But as we know Jesus, as we love Jesus, as we remain connected with him, he will set us free. And let me tell you something, that freedom is real. He says, I will set you free, you will be free indeed. There are some of you right now that are hurting, that are battling because you feel tied up by the chains of Satan. You think it's impossible because you've been tied up for so long. But God has something for you today. Terrence. So as we finish our series today, I want to make an appeal, but I'm going to make two appeals. Two appeals. Because I know, because I was in the pews when I was in shackles myself. And some of you are seeking that freedom. Today, you want to experience true freedom, the freedom that Jesus gives us. Again, if this, then that will be the result. If the Son sets you free, and he's already done his part, he died on the cross for it, then you will really be free.
Thanks for joining us. If you're ever in the Nashville area, come and visit us at the Nashville First Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're located at 2800 Blair Boulevard in Nashville, Tennessee. You may also visit us at nfsda.org.